Good to be with you guys again this afternoon. So thankfully I made it past the first phase with the first message, and John let me preach again. So last week, or 2 weeks ago, we started in 1 John, and I gave a little background information to the book. And we ended up looking at the first four verses of that, of chapter 1. And the main theme that we saw from that, from those few verses, is that Jesus had come, or as the Son of God. He was an incarnate. He was fully man, fully God, and whom we can have fellowship with. And because of that, our joy will be complete if we are fellowshipping with God and through His Son, Jesus. So today, the title of my message is, What is Truth? So before we dive into the message, I'm going to pray, and then we will read our passage, and then we will begin. So let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son. And I thank you that we can spend each day reflecting on what He has done for us. And thank you for Sunday. Thank you for the day where we can come together as a church and worship you in song and spirit and through your word. I pray, Lord, that you will use this time to teach us, and that you will help us to shepherd our own hearts. Help us to desire your own heart, Lord, and that our affections would be placed where your affections are. And I pray that this would be our heart cry. Pray that you'd help me as I seek to accurately explain the text of Scripture here and draw application. And thank you for your grace. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let's begin in 1 John, verses 5, and then we will end in verse 10. Verse 5 says this: This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Truth. What is truth? Truth is manifested in many ways. If you stop and look at the world today and just take it all in, you don't have to look very far to see people that are desperately seeking after truth and what truth is. We're constantly bombarded with information which almost causes us to play a game of fact or fiction. In each aspect of life, whether it's a job, hobby, your health, your relationships, faith, the list goes on, a person has to decide what they think is the best standard of truth to live by, and what will produce the best results. So all of us as humans, we hold two standards. You don't have to look very far, and our culture today accepts many universal standards, such as many of us here have a job, and some of us have to show up on time. And let's just say, for instance, you have to be at your job at 8 o'clock, and you start showing up at 10 o'clock every day, you're going to lose your job. And we understand that. We know that if there is a set time with a company and they have policies, you're going to be there. We understand that in order to have a good relationship, a person is going that love each other, they're going to spend time together. And that's going to equal a good relationship, or that's on the track to a good relationship. Most of us believe that it's wrong to murder. It's wrong to steal. It's wrong to lie. And the list goes on. But sometimes truth can appear as ambiguous. If you turn on the TV and flip through the stations, you'll probably encounter many quote-unquote professionals trying to tell us what truth is in specific categories. If you turn on the sports channels, you're going to have guys yelling at each other who they think is the best player of all time or who's going to win a game. And you're going to have so many different opinions, and you as a consumer are going to be left with, what do I make out of this? What is the absolute truth here? In the area of health, I have friends down at college and even here, some of my family members have been getting into working out. And they keep telling me, okay, this is the best diet, this is the best workout routine. And many of them are all different. Like, I'm trying to take in what's going on here, what's the best option. And a lot of times, it almost seems like there's some relativity in that, in the area of health. If you, flip the channel to the political stations, you're going to see so many different opinions. And it's like we're constantly bombarded with information, and we kind of have to step back and ask ourselves, what is truth in these areas? Now, sometimes in the ambiguous parts of truth, it can be difficult to discern. I mean, for instance, let's just say someone is dieting, and you have two people that are on the same diet, and there's different results with the outcome. One person gains 5 pounds in a month, one loses five. What does that mean? Basically, there can be effects, or there can be factors that can affect an outcome. And so that doesn't change how the body works. I mean, there can be factors like your metabolism works differently genetically, and there's different things that can take place to affect an outcome, but that doesn't change the fact that there is absolute truth on how the human body works and how there's absolute truth in many different outcomes. So the question is today is, who is the source of absolute truth? And is there a standard revealed to humans by which we can discover truth? I believe that the passage today we'll be looking at in 1 John gives us answers to these questions. And so there are 3 points that come from this text today that I want to look at together. And the first point that we'll be talking about is the standard of truth. And then the point two we'll be talking about is the result of truth. And then thirdly, the means to truth. So, let's begin in verse 5 together with point number 1, the standard of truth. So, it says this. This is the message, this is in verse 5. We have heard from Him and proclaim to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So, John is writing here. And he's telling us, or proclaiming to us, a message that he has heard from Jesus himself. So here, this message here, it's referring to the message that Jesus gave, and then John is proclaiming this to you. And so what is the message? The message is that God is light. So what is light here referring to? Light here is referring to truth. So the light equals truth. So when he says that, when Jesus or even John now is proclaiming the message is, God is truth. And then he contrasts that and says, and in him is no darkness at all. So darkness, which is obviously opposite of light. What does darkness mean? Darkness means sin, or that which is opposed to truth. It's the opposite of truth. So where do we see? There are a couple references in Scripture that also refer to light, and that I'm going to read real quick. John, the Gospel of John 11, verse 10 says this, but if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So here we see that truth or light here is referring metaphorically. It's revealing that it is a sense that it gives guidance to when you are walking through life. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So here, it's referring to God as the Father of light, and He's giving good gifts, and this Father also does not change. So we see that God is absent of sin. So let's think more about this metaphor of light. Light is powerful. It's beautiful. It's breathtaking. It's grand. It's displayed in so many manners. And light makes its presence known. Its power shines out. Light produces life and growth and beauty. And you know what's interesting? Sin does the very opposite. Sin is darkness. And darkness and light cannot exist in the same place. So if we are walking in the light, darkness has to go. And so Jesus, and now John, is declaring that God is truth. And God is the standard of truth. And in Him is no sin or error or fallacy. And if you just stop and you look at our world today, everyone is apart from God. Everyone that is apart from God in this world is working hard to contradict this message. The message that God is the standard of truth. Because all of us are worshiping something. And if we're not worshiping God, we are God haters. And we love ourselves. And the truth does not reside in those that love themselves. So what happens when a person does not believe that God is the standard of truth? They become truth to themselves. And whatever they deem as right and wrong is the standard by which they live by. And now we wonder why our culture is, quote unquote, just messed up. We live in a day and age where we are indoctrinated with so many different opinions and so many, quote unquote, sources of truth. We look to celebrities to give us the standard of truth. We look to musicians through their lyrics that brainwash us, constantly telling us what they think is truth. Philosophers are bombarding us, telling us that truth is relative. It's whatever you want it to be. Everyone, do whatever you want, whatever you think is right. And if you think this is how you should live, then this is how you will do life. And sadly, truth gets pushed in dark corners. And even the ability to logically reason with people is being quickly lost because there is no standards to even discuss manners of topics and issues. Christians aren't far off from this as well. We're not exempt from this guilt. If we as Christians try to come up with what we think is the most valuable and we start to define what truth is, we forsake God and we try to take the place of God. And we do this in so many ways. Because who gets to define what truth is? If I think that, oh, I need a good family so I can do this and this and this. I need to have this much time for this certain hobby because it makes me feel this way. In order for me to be happy, I have to have this hobby. And we substitute truth for what we think it. Or we come up with our own standards of truth, and we believe if we need this to equal this, we are becoming our own God, and we're forsaking what God has in store for us. So, ask the question: what do I think is important to me? And when we approach life, and we approach decisions we're making, we need to constantly asking, where is God in all of this? If I'm making the decision to do this activity, or if I'm making a decision to go to a different job, or there's so many different things in life that we're constantly making decisions, is God even in the picture behind this? Because where is the standard of truth? And in answering the question, who gets to define truth? John here is very clear who truth is. And I stand here to tell you today that you are not the standard of truth. I am not the standard of truth. I don't get to define what truth is. The culture does not get to define what truth is. God is the standard of truth. He is truth. And He gets to set the standard by which we live. And how does He reveal truth to us? He reveals truth to us through His inspired Word. And that's what we have here. We have the Bible, which is the ultimate standard of truth. It is so important that we believe this. Because if we do not understand this, the world is going to continue to bombard us with what they think is truth. And if we don't keep coming back to this book here, we're going to get off into the weeds. And Satan is going to quickly take advantage of that. So we see here that truth is revealed to be God Himself. And so, how is truth revealed to us? And how is truth manifest in a person's life? So when we understand who truth is, how does this apply to our life? So the passage here continues, and we'll transition to point number two, and we'll see the result of truth. So point number two, the result of truth, we're looking at verses 6 through 7. Verse 6 says, "If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." So after John just clearly specifically lays out that God is truth, he gives us a practical scenario in verse 6. So, if we say we have fellowship with God, keep in mind this is void of sin and this is walking in truth, but we keep practicing sin, what does this imply? He says here, we are lying and don't really embrace the truth. I find it interesting here that he's saying words don't validate truth all the time. Our feelings don't validate truth. Even our thoughts don't validate truth. See, our actions are going to show whether we're walking in truth or walking in darkness. When our words and our actions are opposed, usually our actions are what we really believe in. So, for instance, if I say that I work out every day and I do all these reps and all this stuff, but I don't have any results, it's probably because I'm not doing all those reps and I'm probably not eating healthy and all this stuff. Because you're going to see results. And very similar to this is if we're not walking in truth, you might deceive yourself and say that, oh yeah, I'm walking in truth, but if your actions speak otherwise, we need to be aware of this. And the Gospel of John points out, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. And he kind of continues on to give us an illustration of, if you have a certain fruit tree, they're going to bear fruit after their kind. They're not going to be bearing, if you have an apple tree, it's not going to be producing grapes. And very similar to our passage today. So, if we process this together, we need to look at our own life. Do we have a life that is consistently reflecting the character of Christ and truth? As I mentioned earlier, what do you spend your free time doing or thinking about? What are your goals in life, and how does the truth of Scripture apply to that? Do you actually care about knowing truth, or is Christianity just turned to moralism? So, when life doesn't go your way, how do you respond? usually when situations don't go your way, that's when you're going to really see what's really harbored deep in your heart. And if it's not according to truth, then you might be guilty of the very thing John is addressing here. You might be saying, oh, I have fellowship with him, but when you respond, your actions are completely different. So consider these things. Then verse 7, John continues. He says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay, it's raining back behind me. So, verse 7 here, John is contrasting the previous lifestyle. If a person walks in the truth as God is in truth, this person isn't fake. They are genuinely embracing God's truth. And when they walked, they reflect God's perfection. And this is the result of walking, or what is the result of walking in truth? The passage here continues. He says, we have fellowship with one another. So fellowship, this is a deep divine and human fellowship that's taking place. First with God, and then with fellow believers. So, if walking in light requires perfection, because God is a God of absolute truth that cannot stand or cannot have darkness or sin in His presence, how do we? What happens when we sin as believers? Well, John answers this question here in this passage. The blood of Jesus is cleansing us from this darkness. And it's referring here to the sanctification process. Romans 8:3-4 says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who is interceding for us. So here's the connection. To walk in truth, one needs to embrace the gospel. But in order to maintain walking in truth, one needs the gospel to remain in the truth. So we have that once we accept the gospel, we now know what truth is. But we also need the gospel message to remain walking in truth, because we sin and we fail. And we have Jesus, who is at the right hand of God, interceding with God on our behalf. And this is just a precious and amazing thought to think about. Here we see that salvation is not about doing good things. It's more importantly fellowshipping with God. And then as a result of fellowshipping with God, we're going to have a deep relationship with Him. And because of that, we're going to want to do what is good, what most people, quote unquote, deem as good. And as a result, we're not getting closer to God because we're doing those things. We're getting closer to God because we understand what Jesus has done for us. And because our relationship and our love for God and Jesus is going to deepen. And how can we do this? Why can we do this? It's simply because of the blood of Jesus shed for us. And this is just so awesome to think about and to be gripped with this message. And I know many of you, all of you here, have heard the gospel explained. And it's so important to have that as the bedrock and foundation of our existence and of our life. Because with that, we're not going to know what truth is. So thus far, we have seen, number one, the standard of truth. Now we've seen the result of truth, fellowship. And because of we can have fellowship, it's because of Jesus. And lastly, we see in verses 8 to 10, the means to truth. So up to this point, we have seen that God is the standard of truth. And we have seen that knowing truth or walking in truth results in fellowship. And we know that the gospel is central to this. But by what manner, method, or fashion do we come to know this truth? So we know God is truth, we know the results is fellowship. But how do we get to this point? Well, before we answer this question, John verse 8 makes it clear we all sin. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so we see here each individual is responsible for their sin. And it is, I think it's worth noting up to this point that to claim to have fellowship with God, we see this in verse 6, that to claim to have fellowship with God while walking in darkness makes a person a liar. Here in this verse, we see to claim to be without sin involves lying to oneself here in this verse. So, if we all have sin, what's the solution to know and to walk in truth? Verse 9. If we confess our sins. What does it mean to confess? Confession is actually, I actually didn't really understand this until I did more studying on this. Confession means much more than simply admitting sin. The word confess actually means to say the same thing about. Did you catch that? Confession means to say the same thing about. So to confess sin then means to say the same thing about sin that God says about sin. And when we do that, we see here, when our confession is sincere, God does a cleansing work. We see that in verse 9. And in our hearts, by the Holy Spirit and through the Word, we see that in John 15:3, already you are clean because of the Word that I've spoken to you. We notice here, because of that, God is faithful. And He is just. And He's constant to remain in truth. And let's think about this. What does it mean to also, when He says also remains just? Let me rephrase that. God is faithful, constant, and remains true when we confess. But He also remains just when He removes our sin. Okay? So, let's think about this. God is just, can't stand sin in His presence, but we're sinners. So how can He be justified in letting us come to His presence? Christianity is the only religion in the world that offers a moral solution to the problem of sin. The only way to have fellowship with a God who is light and there's no darkness whatsoever, and is not to deny the fact or the effect from sin, but to confess our sins and thank God for His provision for cleansing. So we have a faithful and just God that, because He can't stand sin in His presence, sent His Son Jesus to take the wrath that was poured out towards our sin. And because of that, God's justice was appeased. And because of that, our faith remains strong, and God is not contradicting Himself when He allows us into His presence when we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is incredible to think about, because we have a faithful and just God who loves us so much that sent His only Son to come as the incarnate Son of God, who is fully man and fully God. And this is the message John is proclaiming to us over and over and over again, that God came as the incarnate Son of God, and He died, He lived a perfect life, He died, He rose again, and now He is interceding at the right hand of God, proclaiming those who believe in Him as His children. So, verse 10 continues. What does John address next? He says, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. What is this saying? Those people who don't see the need to confess because they make God out to be a liar, because they believe that they don't sin, which is contradicting what God says. We do sin. And this is very at the very core of it is wrong. And we need to avoid those thinking. So what is the result? We see here that the result is the absence of truth when we forsake what God says about sin. So today we have learned that truth is from God and is given to those who confess their sin and believe in the sufficiency of Christ's work, which produces true fellowship. And we see that the standard of truth is God, and we see that the result of truth is fellowship with God and believers, and the means to truth is confession, saying the same thing what God says about sin. A couple points of application in closing. Point number one, believe in the source of truth. And then point number two, confess your need of forgiveness of sin. And then thirdly, seek after true fellowship. And then lastly, fourthly, read God's Word. So, in answering our question at the very beginning of this message, what is truth? Who is truth? God is truth. And He is the standard of truth. He gets to set what the standard of truth is. And we must believe in this. And when we are faced with the world bombarding us with information that they say is facts, or there's so many different things that we can get distracted with, we need to keep coming back to God is truth. And where do we find this? We find this in the Word. We find truth in the Word of God. In closing, with an illustration, this past week and a half, I've done some work outside. There's been some really hot days, and I've just been sweating a lot. And because I sweat a lot, you have to consume a lot more water and liquids, because if you don't do so, your body's not going to be able to keep up with all the strenuous activities that's taking place. And eventually you're going to pass out if you don't drink water. And it's simple. It's a simple, we all know this. We all experience this. Well, spiritually, when the going gets tough and when life is just slamming busy, when you are metaphorically sweating hard because there's a lot of difficulty that you're trying to overcome, what do you need? You need God's Word. You need God's Word. Just like we need water to survive during the heat of the day, we need God's Word to survive the heat of sin all around us. And as I keep studying the Scriptures, I keep seeing more and more the need to get in God's Word and to understand it at a deep level, not just a 10-minute quick snack in the morning. It's just that's not going to be sufficient if you're really trying to fight sin. It's not. And I look at my own life. There's so many areas that, and there's so many ways that I, in a sense, justify not reading God's Word. Oh, I'm busy. You know, I have my own schedule. And what am I doing? I'm forsaking truth. I'm making myself God. And I'm not trusting in God to be the standard of truth. So, believe that God is truth and embrace that. Embrace the gospel. And seek to live life in light of that truth. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the truth you have given to us through your Word. We love you and we praise you for everything you have done for us. Pray, Lord, that we would honor you in everything we do and we say, and that we would seek after truth of all of our being, Lord, and that we would seek to desire your own heart and seek after the commands that you have given us in Scripture. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.